97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, little Metallica for you this weekend. Maybe you're lucky enough to have grabbed a ticket to that. At least you'll be indoors. You won't be in the great outdoors, but you'll be hearing some Metallica, maybe some Wolfie Van Halen, some Mammoth WVH. I don't know. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. I'm Mark Cox, along with my partner Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
They might be listening to this because they're in town all weekend.
That's true. Hey, Metallica, welcome into the show. Great to have you
in buddy.
Town.
And Carl, do you like hang out with them since you've been around the rock world forever?
Well, the problem is there's a hockey game on Friday night and Saturday night. So the only night I could go would be the Sunday night show. But as I told Mark Cox, there is a strong rumor that Metallica will be at the hockey game on Saturday night.
Really?
That? Yeah. Uh-huh. They're big hockey fans, but we hear.
Yes.
Okay, so last time I was at the Blues game, it was pretty cool because they did a celebrity look-alike thing for the camera and the crowd. What will you do with that? Oh, great, Carl.
That is out of my department, but
okay.
if they are at the game and they consent to be on camera, we will be playing. And it's not out of sorts to play Metallica music at the hockey game ever. In fact,
of course,
Bo Matthews requested a Metallica song last time he was at the game, and it was easy to do.
So why wouldn't they consent to be on camera, because they're rock stars and they kind of like the attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
And kinda. It would promote the Sunday night show if there were still tickets available, because it's the dome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes.
Wow, I was going to go cool. Because, of course, you know.
You want to see the Friday night show.
I like Metallica, but I am a huge fan of Wolfgang Van Halen, Spawn of Eddie, and he's going to be one of their warm-ups on
Friday
night.
And that's Friday night, and yes. With Pantera.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Jeez. But anyway. But I scheduled a hunting trip, which, by the way, we'll be talking about coming up here shortly. It's wild pheasant hunting, which I've never done before, Bo Matthews. I've been to the farms where you local farms where you go, like Black Hawk Valley and other places where you can go, and you buy the birds basically, and they set them out in the field for you. They're raised wild in cages and stuff, but then you take either a guide or your own dogs and you go out and you try to find them in the fields. This is very different, and apparently involves a lot more walking.
They have ATVs up there and UTVs. Can't they get you a side-by-side or a golf cart, for crying out loud?
I was told to wear comfortable boots, so I get the impression we're going to be walking miles and miles. I'll get my steps in this weekend.
That's great. You know, hey, I've got to ask you. We haven't talked much about the mass shootings that have been going on. Maine... Also, Tampa, there was a big one. I don't know if that was just inner city, it is in St. Louis. But isn't it ironic or isn't it crazy how quickly these stories disappear from the mainstream media? It really baffles me, and it actually bothers me because, we're still waiting on the dossier from a Nashville shooter just to get some kind of information out to the public, because as the show is titled Second Amendment Radio, we need to be able to share and warn people that things like this can happen and why you should have an experienced somebody with a gun that is trained.
It happened in St. Louis the other day, remember, down I believe in Webster Grove, somebody was coming out of a Hot Shots or something at night, and they were approached by people wearing a mask walking toward them, and the guy pulled out his gun and shot. They believe he killed one of the two suspects and the other one got caught. You've got to be prepared to defend yourself. And we've got to get to a point in this country where we don't have these camera-loving, there's no other way to call it, left-wing politicians who want to run to the media the minute one of these shootings happens and call for gun control. We need gun control. Actually, what we need are more guns in the hands of the good guys, right? I mean, the guy in Maine, the reason that disappeared from the headlines, is he is now, Robert Card, the poster child for the mental health problems in this country. And everybody says to me after I say that, I'll get an email or a message on social media. You need to quit, you know, painting with a broad brush because a lot of people suffer mental health issues, but they don't all shoot someone. Okay, that's fine, right? I'm not saying everybody with a mental health issue shoots someone, but if you threaten to shoot up a facility, in this case an army facility like this guy did, you ought to probably be in custody, but at the very least you should not have access to firearms. So this guy threatened to do that. An alert went out statewide. They went to his house and knocked on the door and couldn't find him, so they gave up. And then he went out and killed a bunch of people, but it must be the gun's fault.
Well, and you said he's a poster child for mental illness. I thought he was going to be the poster child for the ban the guns movement, because I mean it's kind of the same thing. But it is frightening how quickly that story, I mean, as horrendous as it is, it just disappeared because just a matter of 48 hours.
It doesn't fit the narrative. He didn't go evade a background check and buy the gun, anyway. It just, none of it fits the narrative that they can use to try to further their gun grab. He had a serious mental health problem, and very clearly the authorities that are supposed to enforce the laws that are already on the books, because they have what they call not red flag but yellow flag laws in effect in Maine.
Yeah.
And it didn't make a bit of difference. He had a mental breakdown. He was hearing voices. His family asked for help. He went in for a 2-week mental evaluation. He was admitted to a hospital for a mental evaluation, and he was still able to go out and commit this crime. That's where we've got to start. Almost every single one of these people who ends up involved in one of these mass shootings has had a mental breakdown of some sort. And yes, all of the warning signs have just been ignored. Ignored.
And what actually still shocks me from that story was that there was not anybody at the bowling alley or at the bar that had a concealed weapon on them to help prevent any more destruction.
Correct. I'm really surprised by that in Maine.
Me too, man. It's frightening. But more the reason why people should get to the range and get, you know, some more time in. I have a family member that just got his first AR. He's had a Glock for a few years now, and he's had an opportunity to get some more time through it and run some more ammo through it, yeah, just to get familiar. I said, dude, just clean it. Just clean it to get familiar with it. You need it to be running right.
That helps. That does. And you've talked to Jesse over at Razorback. I mean, I've talked to my friends at the range. They've all seen an increase in the people walking in the door interested in 100%. Arming themselves.
Yep, absolutely.
Right,
absolutely.
And I read an article this week that made me want to run my head through the wall over here in the studio. The Biden administration has threatened Israel. They've threatened to cut off purchases of handguns being transferred into Israel and guns if they're going to be distributed to the populace.
What?
Not for military purposes, but what we found in Israel is that, believe it or not, even though everyone serves in the IDF, if you're a resident of Israel and you're of age, so they're all well trained in the use of firearms. Firearm ownership is at around 2 or 3% for the country of Israel. Now, understand that they live in a country surrounded by people all around them that have vowed to destroy them. Yet only 2 to 3% of the people have guns in their home. I don't understand it. I guess maybe they had a false sense of security because their IDF forces are so good, generally speaking, that they didn't think they needed it. But now there's a huge upswing in the number of people in Israel going in through whatever their process is. They don't have a Second Amendment, and applying for a permit to get a gun.
And yet most of them are trained already, which would be ideal in this country as well. And you know, and that's why you have to take it upon yourself to get out to a shooting range and get some familiarity, so you know you're not just shooting for accuracy, you're shooting for muscle memory. We've talked about the Mantis X. I've been using it quite a bit, Mark. We should do a little challenge.
Good.
On there. But,
oh yeah.
It does help, and I recommend it to a lot of people because you can just get that muscle memory going and going and going So I suggest it to anybody, either real range or a Mantis X type of laser situation.
You've got to do it. And when you buy a weapon, I think at the range, they offer an introductory class if you've never shot before. Or yeah. If you bought it somewhere else and you want to take a class, I know at the range, for example, they do those training classes for introductory. They do them if you're a woman and you've bought a gun and you're not interested in being in a class full of men. They do them for women with a female instructor. I mean, there's so many different ways you can get involved like that. I just hope people take advantage of it.
And the amount of confidence that you will gain from being familiar with your firearm, it's off the charts in a positive way. You know, maybe you get another like-minded person to go with you, even to purchase the firearm.
Sure.
Razorback or the range, they do a great job. But it's all about training and repetition. So we want Americans to be safe.
I'll find out this weekend, in fact, as people are listening to this, I'm going on a little bird hunting trip, and we're going to get some more details on that. First time in my life I've gone out hunting for wild birds up in South Dakota. Our friend awesome. Chad Hansen, who invited me along on the trip, is going to join us coming up here in a minute to tell us a little bit more about that. And if it's something you're interested in doing, we'll have all the details straight ahead on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, alongside Mark Cox and Carl Middleman, our producer, our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. I just talked to Jesse yesterday. He said they've had more new faces coming in recent weeks, probably due to headlines. And if you have never been to Razorback Armory, I invite you in, especially hunters. If you're thinking, that's not really a hunting gun store. Yeah, it is. When you pull it up on the internet, a little deer, a little stag cartoon kind of pops up. So it's a legit hunting store. They've got hunting calibers as well. RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Absolutely. Speaking of hunting, I get to take quite an adventure this weekend that I'm looking forward to for sure. That is bird hunting. And I'm not the best at it, but I'm planning to have a really good time. And I've got my friend Chad Hansen on the phone on the Missouri Brush Control guest line this morning. And, of course, he's with the Hansen's Tree Service. And, Chad, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
I'm good. You excited?
I am ready to get out of town and get up to South Dakota. I am excited.
Yeah, you know, Chad has been talking to me about this bow for a couple of years now. He goes, you should really go with us sometime. We have a great time. And it's the timing has never worked out until this year. And I'm really looking forward to this because most of my bird hunting, I got to be honest with you, has been contained locally to these farms, which do a great job. But where you go and they go and set the birds out for you, and then you use your dogs or somebody else's dogs to try to find them. This is going to be a little different for me. So, Chad, you've been doing this for years and years. I think your dad used to go up to South Dakota all the time, Jeff Hansen. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so it's definitely a little different than the local planted bird hunts. You know, the local guys do a great job, but the natural born birds, they just move and they evade and they fly so much different. It's a lot of fun. They we'll be hunting on thousands of acres of property up there. And it's a beautiful area, but the birds, I've heard the pheasant report is looking very good for this year, so the population should be great. And it's just going to be a great time. I'm excited to get up, and you're going to have a blast.
Chad, this is Bo. Hey, okay, so just this year, between Kyle Kasparek from Missouri Brush Control and mm-hmm. and Mark Cox, they've actually got me into some skeet shooting and trap shooting, and okay. I really enjoy it. But does that compare at all to actual bird hunting? Because I'm not really a hunter.
Yeah, you know what? It helps. So, a lot of the the same fly patterns are late. The thing with trap and skeet and all that is you know where the bird's coming from every time, and you typically know the direction that it's flying.
Right.
Exactly.
With bird hunting, it's 360 degrees. It could be in front of you, it could be behind you, it could be across. I mean, so you're going to get all kinds of different variations of shots. But like anything else, with practice in a similar field, it's going to help you. So, it's definitely something that is a lot of fun to do, and it'll definitely help you in a hunting scenario.
Yeah, I would think, when we do the five stand bow, I would think that may be almost a better comparison than maybe skeet or trap, because those birds are flying away from you at a decreasing, the clay birds are flying away from you at a decreasing rate of speed.
Thank God for that.
The live birds are trying to get the hell away from you, and they're speeding up as they leave you. And that's the biggest challenge, right? Right? Would you say, Chad?
Oh yeah, for sure. They're once those birds, they typically take off into the wind, and then they make a turn. Once they turn and they catch that wind, I mean, they're like little missiles. They're flying 50, 60 miles an hour, and they get out quick. So yeah, you got to get on them fast, and you got to get on them before they're out of range, because it doesn't take too long and they're gone.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for people who haven't done like wild bird hunting before, tell us a little bit more about it. We're going to Dakota Prairie Outfitters, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's near Mitchell, South Dakota, about 20 miles southwest of Mitchell, which is the pheasant capital of the world, and. It's just the hunting environment, it kind of changes from field to field. There might be some areas where we're hunting some standing corn, and there's other areas where we're hunting what's called CRP, which is like a native grassland. And then we could be hunting shelter belts, which is, rows of planted trees to kind of help some of the soil erosion with the heavy winds up there. So these birds are smart, and then depending on the weather and the time of day, it kind of will determine where you go, because, certain times in the morning or the afternoon, they're either feeding or they're roosting. So, that will determine if we're hunting fields or corn or shelter belts, depending on the weather scenario.
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota and traveled back and forth to Wyoming. So across Interstate 90, there's Mitchell, South Dakota, home of the Corn Palace, by the way. Need to stop in there. So you guys are saying we're bird hunting. What kind of birds are you hunting? Can you clue us in, please?
Yeah, ringneck pheasants.
Oh, so, okay. Now we know.
yep. Sorry, I left that one out. Yeah, pheasants. So we will be hunting pheasants all weekend long.
Yeah, but
bird hunting is bird hunting.
There's a limit on them. How do they handle that up there? Is it maybe a little different than what we do down here in the greater St. Louis area?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's three roosters a day. So a lot of these planted bird farms in St. Louis, you can shoot both hens and roosters. In wild birds, you can only shoot roosters. So all the hens, they fly free and hopefully stick around for next year so that they can have a hatch and boost the population again for us. So, we get three roosters a day per person.
Wow. Wow. And normally, okay. Like you said, it's a good, you're reading that it's a good season. Yes. you shouldn't have a problem getting your three during the course of the day.
No, I don't see us having a problem at all. Our population where we hunt is normally very good anyway, because we do farm for them. We make sure they have food and they have water and they have good shelter sources. So they tend to stick around the area where we hunt. I heard this the other day. My buddy that owns a lodge up there, he told me that, they have their pheasant reports, and it used to be done by the Postal Service. When the Postal Service would drive around delivering mail, they would give a bird count, and they would somehow calculate that into a per square mile radius, and that's how they would determine what the population looks like, which I found very interesting. I did not know that.
Well, maybe really they found a new profession for all those mail carriers that don't have enough work these days.
right.
Let's try that around here.
Chad, yeah. You mentioned the wind. I remember riding my Harley out to Sturgis, and we were like at a 45-degree angle leaning into that north wind. I can't imagine how difficult that shooting is in the wind, because, I mean, we've had a slight breeze out at the St. Louis Skeet and Trap, and I hit nothing. Mark, are you up for this? Can you handle
it? Well, my coach is a guy named Chad Hansen. I want to introduce you to him. Oh. And he's going to give me all the tips I need on that, right, Chad?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to make sure you're dialed in. And if not, you'll be standing right next to me, so we'll get it handled one way or the other.
I'm hunting right next to Chad. Don't you worry.
Get you a hey, if there's a Costco nearby, at least you can slide by for a $5 rotisserie chicken, man.
Right?
Chad, how does this compare? I mean, you've done some fantastic hunts. I think we talked last year about basically the big game hunting you did over, where was it, in Africa that you went?
Yeah. I was in South Africa earlier this year, and it's two totally different worlds, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
but you know, what we'll be doing this week, as far as bird hunting goes, I think it's first class. You know, it's just it's a lot of fun. You're going to be with great people, and the environment, and just the scenery that you see, it's just totally different than what we see here in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Our lodge that we stay at, it's about 20-25 miles from Mitchell, but you can at night you can see the city from our lodge. 20 miles away.
Wow.
It's just a flat open plain. So just a beautiful area. And, I really enjoy getting up there. It's one of the few places where I get to really unwind and relax. So it's always a treat for me.
And this is I guess we just lucked out on the weather. Looking at the weather forecast, it's going to be lows in the high 20s, low 30s, and midday highs around 50. I mean, that's a dream come true, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. And with South Dakota, you never know, because it could be 60 degrees and it could be 15 degrees and 14 inches of snow on the ground. So it varies so quickly up there. And but yeah, the weather for this coming weekend is looking fabulous.
Yeah, I've got an aunt coming in from Minnesota, and it did snow up there a few inches a couple of days ago. So you might be driving into some white on the ground.
Yeah, they got a decent amount of snow a week or so ago. So yeah, there might still be some lingering white piles up there for us to walk through.
Yeah. So you're saying it's roughly a 10-hour drive from St. Louis?
Yep. We're going to try to do a land speed record and beat that, but we typically do it in about 9.5 to 10.
That is awesome. Well, Chad Hansen, listen, I always appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us about your hunting exploits, and I am absolutely thrilled that I get to go with you this time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of fun.
So he's driving and you're flying by helicopter, is that right, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to fly up and meet him. No, I'll be along breaking the ground speed record.
Yeah. Real quick, man. Chad, we see your Hansen tree trucks all over the place. How big is your crew? Can I just ask?
In the northern St. Louis, we have a branch down in southern Missouri too, but we run a little over 100 people.
Wow.
In this area.
Wow.
So
that's amazing. For anybody that's out there with their Uncle Earl and a 12-pack and a pizza and a chainsaw, just call Chad. Just call Chad. It's never going to end good.
that's usually going to end up in a bad YouTube video somewhere.
I was going to say, I saw you release some pictures the other day on your Facebook page of some of the training you guys do out there, because I just don't think most people appreciate how dangerous that can be.
No, it's people don't realize it's the number one most dangerous industry in America. It goes back and forth usually with deep sea fishing and oil rigging, but for the last couple of years, unfortunately, we've had the most deaths per capita of any other industry.
Wow.
So it's extremely dangerous, and there are so many dangerous situations that people don't even know are dangerous when they go to try to cut a tree, and unfortunately, a lot of times it does go wrong. So. Tell people all the time, it's like, just save yourself the headache and the financial and physical risk, and just hire a professional.
I can say this by experience, a little bit of property, and the angle of the trunk of the tree is not necessarily the way it's going to go. If you look at the plumage of the weight of the tree that's way up top, call Chad.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, there are so many variables, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. Well, it's hansenstree.com, of course, the website. And, Chad, looking forward to it, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, you bet. Chad Hansen from a Hansen's Tree Service there. And going to have some good stories for you next week on Second Amendment
Man,
Radio
that's so cool.
And the great outdoors.
So are you leaving early? Are you off Friday? Or
yes.
You're just going to bolt out after?
Yeah. Leaving, I'll take the long weekend and go up and have a little bit of fun. So
good for you, man.
He's shooting
have fun.
As you're hearing this, Bo.
Yeah, I'll be actually hunting as you're hearing Second Amendment Radio outdoors. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I'll I'll be at Costco getting a rotisserie chicken for $5. I'll be eating for sure.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk with our friends from Responder Rescue. If you're not familiar with them, we're on my show spending this entire month doing a fundraiser for them because of the great work they do for all of our first responders, police, fire, EMS, all of them. That's coming up next on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Carl Middleman,
thank
as
you.
We come back in here, very well done. Because we are talking about Responder Rescue. They've been around for years now, helping our local first responders when it comes to everything from medical needs to paying electric bills if they've been injured in the line of duty, whatever it is. And I've committed personally to helping support that charity a couple of years ago on my show, and we're doing it again this month. And in fact, Bo, we've got Pat Byrne with us right now on the Missouri Brush Control guest line. He is the founder of Responder Rescue. Pat, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So the ATF raffle for Responder Rescue is now live. It's underway. We're raising money. We're selling tickets. We've got bourbon, alcohol. We've got tobacco from the Lit Cigar Lounge. We've got a rifle from the Range St. Louis West, our alcohol, tobacco, and firearms raffle. Bo, you like that?
Well, yeah, you need to get some, tannerite down at Buckeye for the explosives part of it. They've got it.
This has been a great success the last 2 years. I'm hoping to make it a great success again this month. We'll tell people how they can buy tickets here in a minute. But first, I wanted to let Pat maybe just talk a little bit about Responder Rescue and remind people how you got started and what you're doing for folks these days.
All right. Well, we go back to around 2007 to 2009, to get it started and working through all the paperwork and the 501c3 stuff. And ever since then, we've been pretty much go, go, go. And every day you're trying to raise money, you're talking to people, you're receiving phone calls from different situations. It was really surprising to us, the need that was there.
So you discovered that, if memory serves me correctly, after, I mean, you were suffered an injury, right, during your career?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of us that have been on the fire department for any kind of years, and I did 30, and, people get hurt. They get hurt all different degrees. There's people who can't go back to work, and there's some that are off for months, and usually getting hurt's almost worse than anything.
It is. And an organization like you guys have put together is such a blessing to so many, because, what's the first thing after somebody gets hurt? It's like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay, the bills? How are we going to pay the house payment? How are we going to pay for the medical bills or the deductible or whatever? And that's what Responder Rescue really does. You set up a shield, if you will, to help protect these first responders and their families.
Right. And that's always the first thing somebody says. If something happens to somebody, let's have a fundraiser.
Right.
And we're trying to put that fundraiser before the need.
That's a good point. I've talked to your great partner, your wife, Lisa, who does a lot of great hard work for Responder Rescue as well. Because she talked to me a little bit about the stack of letters she'll get sometime as she starts going through them, or messages from people who are in need. Run down a few of those. Give me a few examples of the different things people find themselves in need of, Pat.
We find long-term injuries, illnesses, We've had family members that have been on the fire department, on the private ambulances, that, you know, your back injuries, those nagging injuries that don't go away. And a lot of people lose their sick time and everything else. And we try to bridge that gap for a short period of time to get them back on their feet.
Yeah, it was not too long ago that you were at Trattoria Giuseppe, and that was a great Sunday of good food and all four responder rescue. Was it a turnout like you thought it was going to be? Was it better?
Yes, it was. It was another event that kind of out of the blue that came up last year, and then this year they did it again, and it was bigger than the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grace and Giuseppe are great people, man. They really are.
Great food, too.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, Pat,
that's why I like them.
Pat, I wanted to ask you, going back maybe 2 years now, you guys were helping out a police officer. I know she ended up having to have, she had temporomandibular joint disorder and ended up getting arthritis in her jaw. It cost her career because she couldn't do her job. And it was such an expensive surgery. You guys stepped in to help. Do you have any kind of update on her, how she's doing these days?
Yes. I wish the public could see her from a year ago. Everything has turned out as a success. We were able to get the prosthetic or whatever you want to call it for the face all made, and she had her surgeries, and she's recovering every day and getting stronger and better every minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I hope it kind of drives home, but I don't know if people remember that story or not, but looking at the x-rays this young lady showed us with all the work they needed to do to basically reconstruct her jaw because her joints were just worn out from this arthritis and the other thing that had developed along with the joint disorder. They basically had to reconstruct her joints in her jaw. And she was in constant pain,
yeah,
and had horrible headaches and couldn't work, and then found out that there was an insurance problem and they weren't going to cover part of it. And that's when Responder Rescue stepped in. And I mean, I just you must walk away from work every day, Pat, at Responder Rescue with just a good feeling that you're able to do what you can for people like that.
Yeah, those are the good stories that, you know, we're so proud of it when things work out like that. And she was given less than 6 months to live, and we were able to help push it along, and now their lives are right on track.
Wow, it's fantastic. How great is the need? I mean, I guess are people all within the sound of our voice as they listen to either 97.1 or KMOX when they listen to our program on the weekends? How wide an area do you guys cover in terms of people who are in need?
That's pretty good saying it that way. We get requests from all over. We mainly are in the Missouri, St. Louis region. We've been down to like Lake of the Ozarks over in Illinois. Just kind of where the need and the demand is and what kind of resources we have available.
Well, and the need is there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just as long as we have the resources available, we try to do whatever we can.
Yeah, and that was going to be my point because, Mark, you guys have put together with the range, you guys have put together a really cool raffle that's going on. The drawing is going to be Wednesday, November 22nd at the range, St. Louis West, at 2:30. Tickets are available now. Let's talk about some of these auction items because this is what's going to bring the money in.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited, Pat, because I'm a big bourbon guy. I love it. I've really gotten into it the last few years. I do a podcast on bourbon and all that stuff. So for people that know bourbon, I have assembled what I would imagine might be between $2,000 and $3,000 worth of bourbon will be in this bourbon basket. Honestly, somebody contributed some bourbon the other day that among the four bottles was probably over $1,000 if you had to go out and buy it.
Wow,
just in in those four bottles, I've got some Weller 12, which is hard to find on the shelf anywhere. E.H. Taylor, single barrel, small batch. I've got the Art of Spirits, some New Riffs, some Four Roses, Stolach Whiskey, Blanton's, Lucky Seven. I mean, the list goes on. The Devil's River. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits have been really generous with what they've donated that we can include in this basket as well. That's just one of the items. I mean, that's the alcohol, right? And there's my friends at Lit Cigar donating cigars, about $300 worth of nice box of cigars. They're donating time in their Dreamer VIP lounge for up to 10 people who all get a cigar and a bottle of a single barrel bourbon to go along with it, and they get the room for 3 hours. That's probably worth $900. And then there's the firearm. And my friends at the range, every year they've stepped up to the plate. And this year they've donated a CMMG Resolute 5.56 MK4 rifle. It's got a Holosun optic on it. They're even throwing in a complimentary training class. That's probably a $1,600 value. So we're going to have three winners. So your odds are much better than any lottery you've ever been in your life. And plus, all of the money is going to go help Pat and the folks at Responder Rescue.
It's such a cool deal. It really is.
And the tickets are that you can get 10 tickets for $10. I've already had several people who've spent $1,000 on this raffle because they realize it's going to a great cause. Right?
Of course.
Whether they win or not. But obviously, the more tickets you buy, the greater chance you have. On the 22nd of November, we'll go out live to the range at like 2:30 in the afternoon, and we will randomly draw three winners. We'll announce them live on Facebook. We'll call up the winners. First winner gets their choice of the three, and then it'll go down the line like that. So that'll be fantastic.
Love it, man. Yeah. Love it. And the more you buy, the more tickets you get.
Producer Carl Middleman,
Thank you.
Come back in here, very well done. Because we are talking about Responder Rescue. They've been around for years now, helping our local first responders when it comes to everything from medical needs to paying electric bills if they've been injured in the line of duty, whatever it is. And I've committed personally to helping support that charity a couple of years ago on my show, and we're doing it again this month. And in fact, Bo, we've got Pat Byrne with us right now on the Missouri Brush Control guest line. He is the founder of Responder Rescue. Pat, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So the ATF raffle for Responder Rescue is now live. It's underway. We're raising money. We're selling tickets. We've got bourbon, alcohol. We've got tobacco from the Lit Cigar Lounge. We've got a rifle from the Range St. Louis West, our alcohol, tobacco, and firearms raffle. Bo, you like that?
Well, yeah, you need to get some, Tannerite down at Buckeye for the explosives part of it. They've got it.
This has been a great success the last 2 years. I'm hoping to make it a great success again this month. We'll tell people how they can buy tickets here in a minute. But first, I wanted to let Pat maybe just talk a little bit about Responder Rescue and remind people how you got started and what you're doing for folks these days.
All right. Well, we go back to around 2009, 2007 to 2009, to get it started and working through all the paperwork and the 501c3 stuff. And ever since then, we've been pretty much go, go, go. And every day you're trying to raise money, you're talking to people, you're receiving phone calls from different situations. It was really surprising to us, the need that was there.
So you discovered that, if memory serves me correctly, after, I mean, you were suffered an injury, right, during your career?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of us that have been on the fire department for any kind of years, and I did 30, and, you know, people get hurt. They get hurt all different degrees. You know, there's people who can't go back to work, and there's some that are off for months. And usually getting hurt's almost worse than anything.
It is. And an organization like you guys have put together is such a blessing to so many, because, you know, what's the first thing after somebody gets hurt? It's like, oh, my gosh. How are we going to pay, you know, the bills? How are we going to pay the house payment? How are we going to pay for the medical bills or the deductible or whatever? And that's what Responder Rescue really does. You set up a shield, if you will, to help protect these first responders and their families.
Right. And that's always the first thing somebody says. If something happens to somebody, you know, let's have a fundraiser.
Right.
And we're trying to put that fundraiser before the need.
That's a good point. You know, and I've talked to your great partner, your wife, Lisa, who does a lot of great hard work for Responder Rescue as well. Because she talked to me a little bit about the stack of letters she'll get sometime as she starts going through them, or messages from people who are in need. Run down mm-hmm. a few of those. Give me a few examples of the different things people find themselves in need of, Pat.
We find long-term injuries, illnesses. We've had family members that have been on the fire department, on the private ambulances, that, you know, your back injuries, those nagging injuries that don't go away. And a lot of people lose their sick time and everything else. And we try to bridge that gap for a short period of time to get them back on their feet.
Yeah, it was not too long ago that you were at Trattoria Giuseppe, and that was a great Sunday of good food and all for Responder Rescue. Was it a turnout like you thought it was going to be? Was it better?
Yes, it was. It was another event that kind of out of the blue that came up last year, and then this year they did it again, and it was bigger than the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grace and Giuseppe are great people, man. They really are.
Great food, too.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, Pat,
that's why I like them.
Pat, I wanted to ask you, going back maybe 2 years now, you guys were helping out a police officer. I know she ended up having to have, she had temporomandibular joint disorder and ended up getting arthritis in her jaw. It cost her career because she couldn't do her job. And it was such an expensive surgery. You guys stepped in to help. Do you have any kind of update on her, how she's doing these days?
Yes. I wish the public could see her from a year ago. Everything has turned out as a success. We were able to get the prosthetic, or whatever you want to call it, for the face all made. And she had her surgeries, and she's recovering every day and getting stronger and better every minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I hope it kind of drives home, but I don't know if people remember that story or not, but looking at the x-rays this young lady showed us with all the work they needed to do to basically reconstruct her jaw, because her joints were just worn out from this arthritis and the other thing that had developed along with the joint disorder. They basically had to reconstruct her joints in her jaw. And she was in constant pain,
yeah,
and had horrible headaches and couldn't work, and then found out that there was an insurance problem and they weren't going to cover part of it. And that's when Responder Rescue stepped in. And I mean, I just you must walk away from work every day, Pat, at Responder Rescue with just a good feeling that you're able to do what you can for people like that.
Yeah, those are the good stories that, you know, we're so proud of it when things work out like that. And she was given less than 6 months to live, and we were able to help push it along, and now their lives are right on track.
Well, it's fantastic. How great is the need? I mean, I guess, are people all within the sound of our voice as they listen to either 97.1 or KMOX when they listen to our program on the weekends? How wide an area do you guys cover in terms of people who are in need?
That's pretty good saying it that way. We get requests from all over. We mainly are in the Missouri, St. Louis region. We've been down to like Lake of the Ozarks over in Illinois. Just kind of where the need and the demand is and what kind of resources we have available.
Well, and the need is there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just as long as we have the resources available, we try to do whatever we can.
Yeah, and that was going to be my point because, Mark, you guys have put together with the range, you guys have put together a really cool raffle that's going on. The drawing is going to be Wednesday, November 22nd at the range, St. Louis West, at 2:30. Tickets are available now. Let's talk about some of these auction items because this is what's going to bring the money in.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited, Pat, because I'm a big bourbon guy. I love it. I've really gotten into it the last few years. I do a podcast on bourbon and all that stuff. So for people that know bourbon, I have assembled what I would imagine might be between $2,000 and $3,000 worth of bourbon will be in this bourbon basket. Honestly, somebody contributed some bourbon the other day that among the four bottles was probably over $1,000 if you had to go out and buy it.
Wow,
in those four bottles. I've got some Weller 12, which is hard to find on the shelf anywhere. E.H. Taylor, single barrel, small batch. I've got the Art of Spirits, some New Riffs, some Four Roses, Stolach Whiskey, Blanton's, Lucky 7. I mean, the list goes on. The Devil's River. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits have been really generous with what they've donated that we can include in this basket as well. That's just one of the items. I mean, that's the alcohol, right? And there's my friends at Lit Cigar donating cigars, about $300 worth of nice box of cigars. They're donating time in their Dreamer VIP lounge for up to 10 people who all get a cigar and a bottle of a single barrel bourbon to go along with it, and they get the room for 3 hours. That's probably worth $900. And then there's the firearm. And my friends at the range, every year they've stepped up to the plate. And this year they've donated a CMMG Resolute 5.56 MK4 rifle. It's got a Holosun optic on it. They're even throwing in a complimentary training class. That's probably a $1,600 value. So we're going to have three winners. So your odds are much better than any lottery you've ever been in your life. And plus, all of the money is going to go help Pat and the folks at Responder Rescue.
It's such a cool deal. It really is.
And the tickets are that you can get 10 tickets for $10. I've already had several people who've spent $1,000 on this raffle because they realize it's going to a great cause. Right?
Of course.
Whether they win or not, but obviously the more tickets you buy, the greater chance you have. On the 22nd of November, we'll go out live to the range at like 2:30 in the afternoon, and we will randomly draw three winners. We'll announce them live on Facebook. We'll call up the winners. First winner gets their choice of the three, and then it'll go down the line like that. So that'll be fantastic.
Love it, man. Yeah. Love it. And the more you buy, the more tickets you get. If you know, you get 10 for 10 or 27 for 25 or 55 for 50. Yeah. So it goes up. And it's on the website, odyssey.com/971talk/events. It'll take you right to, I'm looking at it right now. It's really, and this could be a good Christmas gift as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I hope they can go to our website, 971talk.com/events. You'll see a link to click on. It's all online. Or if you happen to be at the range St. Louis West over in Baldwin, 14803 Manchester Road, you can actually physically go in and buy tickets while you're there. So
he must be at the firehouse.
Yeah,
is
I don't know.
At the firehouse?
Yes.
Are you Pat? Are you at the firehouse now?
Yes, I'm at one right now.
I thought so. I thought we could hear some of those noises in the background. I was trying to figure out what that was.
Real quick, Pat, if people don't get the raffle tickets, how else can they help you? Can they just go straight to your website for a cash donation or a corporate donation?
Yes, just responderrescue.org.
And on that website, you can also find out more about the raffle on there as well.
Yes.
Listen, Pat, thank you for all you do. Hoping we can get you another big donation this year through the ATF raffle.
Oh, we look forward to it every year.
Well, my friend, I will see you on the 22nd of November when we pick the winner. How about that?
I can't wait.
All right. Give Lisa our best, please.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Pat Byrne there from Responder Rescue. So buy your tickets. Act like a voter in Chicago. Buy early and often. You know what I'm saying?
They're a dollar a piece. Come on, people.
I know. I know. Yeah. So we're doing it a little different this year because we found a raffle, a charity raffle website that's handling all of, so everything's online. So people can go there and you can get 10 tickets for $10 and then it goes up from there. If you want to spend $50, if you want to spend $100, if you want to spend $1,000, one of our first donations was $1,000. So please just know that everything that I've been talking about has been donated. There's no expense connected to this at all. All of the money is going to be transferred into the bank account over at the charity, which is Responder Rescue.
And every time you hear a siren go by you, you know, headed to a fire or a traffic accident or something like that, just know that Responder Rescue is there for them when in need. So dig deep and spend a lot of money and buy those tickets up.
Yep, hope they do both.
Hey, here's the information on the website.
Responder Rescue serves area first responders, and all this month, they're hosting our ATF raffle. Join us in supporting Responder Rescue as part of our First Responder Spotlight and Conservatives Care. Learn more at 971talk.com/care.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That is going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend. I will regale you next time around with all of my bird hunting, either hits or misses. How about that?
If it goes that good, guess what? We're going to call you Big Bird.
The Big Bird. Thank you. I don't know if I like that or not. A Sesame Street character. Nice.
Yeah, right.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Rescue. See you, boys.
Rescue me.
Get more at 971talk.com.